Hi, Brad.
Well, Ryan, good to hear your voice.
And yours too, buddy. So, today's new exciting series, which I am extremely excited to release to the audience. I'm going to try really hard to contain myself and just keep it to part one because I've already got part two, and I'm looking forward to part three, and hopefully we can catch up and bring our readers and listeners up to the same speed where we're at, too. Are you ready to talk about integration of the mind?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah, so this is kind of a change for us, isn't it? We usually talk about spiritual healing and wellness and physicality and the body, and now we're talking about something that really doesn't necessarily or doesn't seem to fit into that category, and that's finances.
Well, I would say contraire if I was French.
Au contraire, monsieur. Okay, be contrary then. Why do you think that these two issues are tied? I mean, it seems, I know that there are a lot of self-help gurus out there that want to discuss this issue, but I always thought that's because they wanted to sell more books.
Yeah, well, it's, and I get bombarded with that, you know, self-help stuff all the time, and some of it's excellent, you know. I mean, I'm not denigrating it in any way, but I've always felt, and I think I said way back, what, going on 4 years ago when we started this, that I can remember a podcast not being very happy with the sound of my voice, but they all work for my words. And, you know, the argument forever has been whether God is in your subconscious or God is outside somewhere. What difference does it make? To me, we are creations, and yes, we were part of that creation, but the integration of the mind came to me from spirit, and the key is getting the subconscious to me. Now, this is me. This is interesting point of view that I have, and not everyone shares it, and I realize it, but it works for me, so therefore I feel almost compelled to share it, and that is that I have been commanding the subconscious to be subject to spirit for a long time, and I don't see it as being synonymous with spirit. And I, you know, I don't say that those who do feel like it's synonymous with our spirit are wrong. That's not the issue. It's just it has proven to be not true for me, and I'm certain it's true for them, and that's okay. God loves us both. We're all children.
Yes.
So, anyway, I'm excited about the series. I'm especially excited because I've been working on number three this morning. I figured I was at least 3/4 finished with it, and checked my email when I got a ding, and it just blew me away. And I asked, you know, well, what do I do with this? You know, I was thinking, oh, I better save that for 4. No.
Well, let's not go too deep into number 3. Let's still talk about number 1, which is what the posting is today.
And
so, the first part of the discovery, at least to me, as I read your article, is awareness of self-sabotage in regards to finances. And the tie for me is that we can also self-sabotage our health, just about anything in our life that's not really going accordingly or how we think we would like it to go, or some of the images that we've been presented with that we'd like to mirror back, which is wealth, health, happiness, abundance, and so on and so forth. We tend to focus on certain things and ignore others, but this self-sabotage, for me, it's been quite enlightening that if I take a look at my past efforts in business, where I've either walked away, talked myself out of it, or convinced myself that the market I've tapped the market to its fullest extent. And those things are just not true.
Yeah, I'm afraid we both fall into that category. Did I say in that article that we've done that together and apart?
Yes, you did. And you also said that one of the biggest steps is we have to take total responsibility for what's occurred in our, not just in our physical health, but, and I'm tying these two together, spiritual healing, but responsibility for what's occurred in the past in business. And I think that just is a universal truth. You can just paint that across every aspect of your life. And if you don't take responsibility, there's no room for moving on.
No, then you take the responsibility, or you take the point of being a victim. And being a victim gets nowhere, because even with spiritual healing, if you feel it's outside yourself, and you don't take the responsibility to go then outside yourself and get it taken care of, you are the cause. You know, that's how I look at it. Is that how you look at it?
I look at it a little bit differently. I think that by taking responsibility, you acknowledge that, or by not taking responsibility, you're giving the power and control over to someone else. When in actual fact, I think that the power and control resides within you, and whether that you use that power and control to ask spirit for help or for change, or to you know, ask your subconscious to be ruled by spirit, those are mechanisms. But until you take responsibility, those mechanisms don't appear, because it's somebody else's fault. You've made a decision and you've blocked yourself from any solution, whether it be internal, external, whatever. As soon as you blame someone else for your past, then you're stuck there.
That's especially true. I've noticed with people who have been, you know, wrongly treated, you know, abused is one popular word that gets bandied around. But no, I agree with what you're saying. So I don't think it was a different point of view. I was probably just the words I used to express what I was trying to say, but I like what you just said. An interesting point of view, and I have that point of view.
Yeah. So the mental reasons for our success not being sustained, and uncovering those mental reasons. What kind of tools have you been using, or what kind of experiences have you had to uncover these things?
Well, I go back to that book you published of mine, I don't know what, 2 years ago now, with the subtitle of What Now? And that still is, to me, the primary pattern interrupt, I think is what you coined that phrase, to keep me from trying to figure things out when there's a better way to get to them. And I don't know if I'm addressing your question or not, so you can re-ask if you want to, but it begins with what now, and a lot of exclamation of, wow, how can it be any better than this? And it gets better, and it in unexpected ways.
Yeah.
And that's been really intriguing for me. So that's been a real huge tool that we both heard from somebody else, but it's been rich, I think.
Yeah. The statement that we heard that rings really true and strong to me is that asking questions opens up possibilities. Making decisions closes off other alternative possibilities. And so a lot of the times, if I look at my business success or failure, it's based on some of the decisions that I made rather than the constant searching for what next, what now, what are the possibilities. You know, when I make a decision, I limit my possibilities, I limit my opportunities, I limit. And I think that's a mistake. And it also breaks partnership with spirit to keep moving forward.
Yeah, to put it in a spiritual or religious context, there is no faith when you operate from a statement point, because you're not looking for anything different than what you've been programmed to believe is true.
Yeah.
And that's what the integration of the mind is all about to me, is there's nothing wrong with a lot of our programming. We don't have to say it's wrong necessarily, but the point is, and the word you just used, I think, is very exciting, and it's limiting. Why limit ourselves to what we've learned at the feet or at the ears of somebody else, when we can have the universe or God or whatever instruct us continually as we go,
mm-hmm.
rather than being caught in our education or our learning? Education's a great basis. Nothing wrong with education. In fact, education has a lot of excellent stuff. We're all a product of our education, whether by experience or by academia. But the point is, if it brings us to conclusions, I think that's why science has been historically so anti-religion, is just because those of us who tend to be religious get mired and get stuck in our crazy opinions that don't even hold water.
Yeah.
So, and that's all limitation.
Whereas science, so anyway, although slow, still moves on.
Yeah, good grief, slow. I've been saying recently, I think probably now for about a year, when it first hit me that science is continually, that we've thought is, well, this is the truth. Wow, this is wonderful. This is truth. Keeps being replaced by new science, which makes the former science no longer valid, no longer even true, if you want to look at it from that perspective. It's just a former truth was replaced with more truth. But if you don't ask questions, excuse me, and that's the basis of science, is continually asking, continually challenging. And those of us who like to think we're spiritual need to have that basis also, because it's spirit that gives us all our new stuff, so to speak, that's new to us. And I'll tell you, to me, my breakthrough years ago was something I started praying, and it was, help me to throw away my old perceptions, my own preconceived notions, and be open to what you have for me. And holy mackerel, all of a sudden, that's when things really started to open up for me. And I thought, oh my gosh, everything goes on the altar, so to speak, to sacrifice every blooming old thought I have and that I used to hold. And then I started saying, well, whatever I think today is going to be replaced by something new tomorrow. And nothing is sacred that is in my head or my mind or my brain or my subconscious or whatever terms we want to use. It's all subject to being new. And where I got into healing so heavily was to understand that to not take yesterday's manna, so to speak, yesterday's whatever worked yesterday, but always say, okay, what's for this? What's for this situation? And something new. And what happened then was to listen to conflicts and realize that there are people who say they want to be healed that really don't, because they're getting a lot of benefit out of having the disease.
And so that brings us back to finances too, doesn't it? It brings us right back to financial. What benefit is it that you stay middle class, poor, upper middle class, wherever you are? Of what benefit is it to you? And that's the subconscious part that really piqued my interest. I had to look at myself and say, well, I have a modicum of success, but what benefit is it to me to not have extraordinary success?
Yeah, and I have been seeing so many of those things uncovered. It's been almost scary of late, until I realized, wait a minute, I don't have to fear this stuff, but it's what's been ruling me. And I was so happy when, I don't know, sometime in the last couple of weeks, I think you came up with the term extraordinary abundance.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and it's, go ahead.
That's a reflection, really a reflection of the true state of most of our listening audience, which is going to be obviously have a computer, a telephone, a roof over their head, a power, a ready power source, and food in their fridge, and they're not so concerned with the bare necessities of life that they have the opportunity to even read or listen to this conversation, which suggests to me that they already have abundance. And so that realization that I live in abundance already, my house is well paid for, my bills are taken care of, I have food in my fridge for my family and more so for guests who would come over. I live in abundance, but I don't live in extraordinary abundance. And recognizing that fact woke me up to having to take responsibility for that. Why not? Why don't I?
Yeah, and why? And I'm gonna confess something or admit to something that I don't know if it's ever been with you or not, but this one I saw many years ago, but it has come full force to me. There are a lot of things I would like to do for members of my family, for people I don't even know for that matter, but I would like to be a better source of help and support financially for people that need it. And this was a terrible thing to see, and this has been recent. The reason one of the reasons I don't want extraordinary abundance is because a lot of people be holding their hands out. Well, I want them to. I want to be so wealthy that I want them to come to me and say, gee, can you help me? Yeah, well, sure. Because, you know, the same God that helps me will help you. So let's see what the best way it is to help you. And the, you know, an immediate way if somebody's hungry is to share food. But to have a poverty, what I discovered was I had a poverty mentality or a less than extraordinary abundant mentality because I was afraid people would be asking me for help. Of all the ridiculous things to learn about yourself, but you know, but it was an important thing to learn, and it was one of my limiting beliefs. It was buried down there in my subconscious, and I know where it came from, but you know, I don't need to get into that. But anyway, I'm just sharing one of the things that came up, and I think it's an important thing.
No, I agree.
I don't want to be afraid of extraordinary abundance anymore at all. Yeah, I still ascribe to the quote biblical truth that the love of money is the root of all evil. But the word was never that anyway. It's the focus and the over emphasis, the greed for money to the point where you're willing to step on everybody else and those kinds of things. That's the root of all evil. Just the love of abundance is not the root of all evil.
Mm.
So anyway, that's getting rid of one of my old religious subconscious crap that's going around in my head.
Sure. Who knows what's rolling around there, and hopefully we can it'll pop up and we can deal with it one at a time and move on. I don't want to go too far, Brad. I would like to cut this a little bit short so that our readers can catch up to us in part two and part three and see where we're going, and hopefully they'll come along on this fantastic journey and release whatever it is that they're hanging on to that prevents them from experiencing extreme abundance, and not just financially, but in every area of their life. So let's see how we can go, where we go with this one. I'm having fun. Are you having fun?
Yeah, me too, and thank you so much. I'm glad that one and two have triggered your imagination along with mine. They've sure been eye-openers for me, so I think it's kind of cutting-edge stuff in a way, stuff I've never really heard anybody emphasize. So anyway, I'm with you. Cut it short. Sorry I'm so excited. I babble on.
Oh, no. Me too. I could talk about this for hours.
Okay, well, I really thank you for the call, per usual. Love you.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Take care,
Love
Brian.
you.
Love you, too.